The Daily Connect podcast, the voice of the RNIB Connect community.
Happy Friday to you. It is the Daily Connect podcast for Friday, 3rd of August, 2018. And today on the podcast, we tell you how you can help raise money for RNIB with a famous friend by your side. I'm talking about Sooty, of course. The lovable puppet is the face of the RNIB's collection boxes. And we'll be hearing from one fundraiser who decided to take up the opportunity after deciding he wanted to give something back after a very successful career. Also, we got into some deep debate on the forum this week. We were joined by Early Edition presenter Alan Russell and Tech Talk co-host Sean Preece to talk about inappropriate pooling and grabbing, why we aren't into our sports, and how some people are getting free copies of the JAWS screen reader software. Oh yes. We also worked this week with charity Ewan's Guide to bring you a handy guide to getting around and enjoying the Edinburgh Festival this year if you're blind or disabled. And because it was Friday, producer Chris has a present for us. Yes, it was something for the weekend. The ultimate guide to what's coming up this weekend on TV, in the cinema, at the theatre, and also what new music is coming out. That's what's coming up on the Daily Connect podcast today.
The Daily Connect podcast.
But first, are you looking for something rewarding to do in your spare time? Well, why not join RNIB's fabulous community of volunteers who help us raise money with Sooty Boxes? RNIB needs your help finding new homes for an additional 2018 Sooty Boxes across the UK. Sooty was created by the puppeteer, magician and pianist Harry Corbett back in 1948. Sooty debuted on local television in 1952, and the children's television shows that bear his name have continued in various forms since 1955, and according to Guinness World Records, is the longest running continuing children's programme in the UK. Sooty is also a massive supporter of RNIB and represents the charity on all of our collection boxes. Stuart Wing became a Sooty Box volunteer because he wanted to give something back.
I was given unexpected early retirement from work and, to be honest, after 43 years, didn't know how to fill my time. And somebody suggested to me voluntary work. I went to the voluntary service office in Woking and asked, were there charities or voluntary work that could use somebody with time on their hands? Because I wanted to give something back after having worked for a salary for over 40 years. One of the people they put me in touch with was the RNIB, and I've not looked back. Initially, I was given pubs and shops around Guildford and Godalming, which was about a dozen which needed visiting. And as and when other collectors either resigned or retired, I volunteered to pick up extra sites which I could reach from Guildford. And I now go as far afield as Andover, Basingstoke, Billingshurst, Brighton, Havant, Lancing, Newbury and Slough. I've now got over 200 sites that I'm responsible for, and I suppose an average size collection would be in the region of £15 to £20, although some I go to have as little as less than £5. The biggest single site I've visited was a garden centre where I collected over £420 in copper and silver, and in 4 years I've raised just over £30,000. I find that it gives me a sense of purpose to get up on a Monday morning knowing that there will be a day or maybe 2 days during the week when I will be going to do something for which people want me to be involved. I feel as though I'm putting something back, and I feel a sense of achievement. I have actually spoken to friends of mine about it and recommended that if they have spare time, that they consider offering their services to the RNIB, and they might get a sense of fulfilment similar to the one I'm getting.
If you'd like to become a Sooty Box volunteer, email us at fundraising@rnib.org.uk or call 0345 345 0054. That's 0345 345 0054. Lines are open Monday to Friday, 9 till 5.
The Daily Connect Podcast.
This is the Daily Connect here on RNIB Connect Radio, and it's a show that really does get you talking. Today, we are bringing you the forum once again. It's our chance to get around the table and talk about the big issues affecting blind and partially sighted people, whilst having some fun along the way, hopefully. With me this week, Alan Russell, the presenter of Early Edition, who has stayed back after his programme. Normally, he's away getting a massage or something, or, you know, getting looked after. But today, he's stayed back to join us in the forum. Hello, Alan.
Present.
Sean Preece is also with us. He is a co-host, a major part of the Tech Talk show. That's what it says here. Sean, how are you?
You couldn't let that pass, could you? You couldn't praise me without getting a little dig in there. I'm very well, thank you, Stephen.
Regular listeners to Tech Talk will know what it's like when we get together. So, you know, it's fair enough. Right, let's get into the topics today. I want to talk about three things. We're going to talk about a story that Hungary has joined Spain and Colombia to be the countries that provide JAWS, Zoom Text and Magic to anybody who is blind or partially sighted in the country who wants it. I think this is an incredible story. We're going to get into that. Also, getting into blind or VI sports. What's stopping us? And I'm talking about the three of us here, because I know none of us are into sport. A little bit with Alan, but not much. He plays golf. We'll get into that later. But we're going to kick things off with this story, which I don't know if you saw this. Dr. Amy Kavanagh put an article up in the Metro newspaper this week, which was all about this whole being grabbed and pulled while you're walking along a street by the public. Is it something we should be considering helpful or an annoyance that we should campaign to stop? Well, that's the starter for 10 on the forum today. So I'm going to let Alan Russell go first. What do you think about this? I mean, has that happened to you? You've been walking along a street, you get to perhaps a crossing point and someone just grabs you and takes you across the road without even maybe asking you first.
Yeah, it has happened a few times, I have to say. Mostly when you're getting off of public transport, I tend to find, or on. Yes. And sometimes someone just grabs you. You're getting off the train with the guide dog and they grab you. And I'm like, I'll help you. And they jump off and drag you off. And you almost fall and you think, do you know what? If you just said to me, can I give you a hand, I would have said no, because actually you probably caused me more problems and almost made me fall off the train anyway. But it has happened, not perhaps so much at crossing roads. You do get people that sometimes kind of grab your arm to talk to you, and I'm not a fan, I have to say. If you know, ask, then fine, you can always say no, I'm fine, thank you very much, but I don't like it. I'm not a fan, don't like it at all.
Okay, Sean, what do you think about this? Happened to you?
Come on, Alan, open up. You know, there's nothing wrong with being tactile. It's a term of endearment. No, you're absolutely right. And this is new to me because, as Stephen knows, I've only just recently, the last couple of years, started using a long cane. And I never experienced this before. Of course, we all know people with stories about people, you know, pulling them on buses and off buses and across roads. And this happened to me for the first time maybe last year. I was getting onto a tram and someone just grabbed my shoulders and started steering me in. And it was almost like I was on remote control. It was crazy. And I've never had that happen before. And yeah, I mean, it's just totally inappropriate. Now, I'm happy to say it hasn't happened since. I have had that experience of getting off a train and someone will grab my elbow as I'm stepping off or something. And, you know, okay, yes, you think, oh, I didn't actually need your assistance there, but... it is just inappropriate, but I think sometimes you can be a little bit snappy with it, and I think people mean well. It's just ignorance of what you need.
Yeah, I wouldn't be snappy to someone. I would just say, no thanks, I'm absolutely fine, thanks for asking anyway. But it's the whole not even asking in the first place. And I like how they tried to treat you like a shopping trolley and put their hands on your shoulders to guide you onto the track.
And they didn't even say anything, you're absolutely right. They said nothing, it's just a pair of hands appeared. And then when I actually got in there, they just left me, parked me up and just walked away. It could have been anyone.
Yeah, I must admit, I love that part of it where, you know, I've done my bit. Now off you go and yes, you know, hopefully you'll survive the rest of your life.
Carry on.
I mean, it is interesting, you know, because we kind of have a laugh about it. And as guys, it's like one of those things that happens. Okay, fine. But I imagine if I was a young girl or an older woman even, or any woman or any, you know, anybody at all, quite frankly, who is just a bit nervous about all of this, maybe like you, Sean, going out for the very first time with your cane, you know, you are in quite a vulnerable state with that. And, you know, people just coming up to you and grabbing you. I mean, if that was to happen to anybody else, any sighted person, there would be mayhem in the streets. But when it happens to a blind person, it's seen as, well, I'm just trying to help you. And yes. I think we all agree that it is all intended in the right way. It's all meant well. But it can be quite scary.
I think so for, as you think you hit the nail on the head in terms of if it's a woman out and about, I think it's probably worse then. I know a few women who are visually impaired, partially sighted and blind, and sometimes they've been grabbed getting on and off escalators and they scream because, not saying that all women just scream when they're grabbed like that, but it must be...
Wouldn't be a surprise if they did, though,
I'm trying not to sound like put my foot in it here, but if it's a woman, I think it's worse when you're grabbed just out of the blue, especially if you're visually impaired and you can't see them coming.
Mm.
No, it's a good point that I didn't even consider. You're right, we're having a laugh about it, but... And Alan, as you said, we don't want to say, oh, these delicate little flowers are so vulnerable. But it's absolutely true. It must be more concerning as a woman if someone just... Especially in my situation, where they just don't say anything and just grab you.
Just to go back to the article which I read, which was from Dr. Amy Cavanaugh, who explained her thoughts on all of this... the article headline is, I'm visually impaired, but it doesn't give you the right to grab me. And I think that's an interesting place to take this discussion, because it feels as if that people out there just have the right to just grab us and push us in any direction. And whether it is intentional in a good way or not, it's still wrong, isn't it?
Of course it is. The whole buzzword here is inappropriate. And if you go into it a bit deeper... Is it because people just think we're always struggling? And sometimes we're not struggling. We know our route. We know what we're doing. We know where we want to go. It's the old thing of people opening doors for me constantly, which makes it so much more difficult for me because, where's that door? Where's the handle gone? If it's shut, I know where it is. Mm. And getting back to the premise of this question of, does there need to be some sort of campaign? Then yes, I think this would be perfect for, do you know what? We don't always need help. Just ask. That should be the byword here, just ask.
It doesn't have to be, don't do that, it's wrong, it's bad, you'll get into trouble. It is, as you say, just ask. You mentioned there, Stephen, in the article, it's people think because you're blind it's okay to kind of do that. And I get that, again, with the guide dog. Sometimes people just start clapping the dog and say, oh yeah, I support guide dogs. And I say, well, it doesn't mean you can clap the dog, you're not supposed to.
That's the challenge, dog. Yeah, that exactly. That's it. They put money in a tin, and as a result, it's like ownership. And that's a difficult one. That's a very difficult one. Right, okay, we're going to move on because up next we're going to be talking about getting into blind or visually impaired sports. That's a topic close to my heart.
This will be a brief one.
Yeah, I know. This will be a minute-long conversation. We'll have that right after this here on the Daily Connect.
The Daily Connect podcast.
Now, did you see the BBC Two documentary, The Prosecutors, on TV on Thursday night? Well, if you didn't, well, it was a fly-on-the-wall documentary which follows senior Crown Prosecutor Erin Cutliffe as she works on two important criminal cases. Our Alan Russell spoke to Erin to learn more about her job and how her sight loss hasn't stopped her pursuing a successful career in law.
There are a variety of media that we deal with as a prosecutor, and some of which you have to think about, I suppose, in a slightly different way. I'm a screen reading user, use JAWS, to access a large majority of the work that I do. Everything generally nowadays is electronic, so there's little that I'm unable to access. So for those, the only two things I can think of off the top of my head would be handwritten material that JAWS can't access, things like still photographs and CCTV imagery. And for those, there isn't really a technological solution that's reliable enough, so I'll generally have the support of colleagues around me or admin, depending on the setup, to help them explain to me and deconstruct what's in front of me. So there isn't any evidence that I'm not capable of understanding. It's just I have to think a little bit differently to perhaps my colleagues that sit round and about.
This might sound a bit of an odd question, but does that mean that taking the visuals out, you mentioned things like photographs or the CCTV images, does that kind of make you focus a bit differently then on more the kind of the hardened facts rather than being, I imagine, maybe some distractions with people and what they look like and so on?
With visual media, so CCTV and photographs, obviously when you look at them initially, as somebody who can see them, I think you form an opinion about what it is you can see. Whereas not being able to see them, I have to ask very targeted questions and I can't make assumptions about what they show. So I suppose in some ways they may be an advantage because I can be much more analytical in my focus.
What about the vocational path you've taken then? How did you come down that road?
When I went to uni, I didn't really have an idea about what I wanted to do. Initially, I thought I wanted to be a teacher, and I started a degree that was a combined degree and gradually converted it to a full law degree within my undergraduate studies. Went on to do a postgraduate thinking, not really sure yet what I want to do, but I'll apply for a couple of jobs while I'm doing it just to show my dad that I'm doing something and not sitting with my feet up. and then I was offered a training contract with the CPS, and lo and behold, here I am 10, 12 years later. So it's all a bit more accident than design, if I'm honest about it. But I can't imagine doing anything else if I wasn't doing what I'm doing, if that makes sense.
Erin Cutliffe there, one of the prosecutors in that documentary on BBC Two on Thursday night. It's now available on the BBC iPlayer and it will return next Thursday night. You can also listen to the full interview with Alan right here on the RNIB Connect podcast at your own leisure, which also goes into more detail about the programme itself.
The Daily Connect podcast.
This is The Daily Connect with me, Stephen Scott. Along with me this week for the forum, we have Alan Russell, host of Early Edition here on RNIB Connect Radio and co-host on Tech Talk, the man himself, Sean Priestbite, with us. We're talking about a whole wide range of topics on the forum every week. And today, and in fact right now, we're talking about getting into blind or visually impaired sports. And my question is, what's stopping us? Now, that's of course assuming that the three of us don't get into sports or haven't any interest in sports. I'm putting my stake out here. I have no interest in sports. I never have, and I'll explain why later. Alan, you and I have... Well, I think you've tried to get me into sport. You've tried to get me into blind golf. That's about it, as far as I know about you.
I used to do lots of sports, you know, at school, at high school, college, etc. You know, I did a lot. And
you'd cycle then, though, didn't you?
I did. But even when I lost my sight, and you know, I liked my cycling, tandem, obviously. Sailing, I did that quite a few times.
Wow.
I continued some martial arts, tried golf.
No, you didn't.
Skiing,
did you?
I do a lot of. Yeah.
Well,
I'll just do this bit myself.
Weapon.
You guys just sit back.
And oh, over to you.
But I haven't done a lot for a lot of sports, probably for a little while now. And, you know, on the radio station here at RNIB Connect, I like to get more sport things on the radio because I want to encourage more people, because I think when you talk about sport and blindness or partial sight, people think goalball. And not
yes.
Taking any away from goalball here, I've tried it. It's a hugely physical sport. I was in bits after my first game. But it was obviously designed for people who have a visual impairment. And there are so many opportunities and so many sports now that are completely accessible. We have blind football, there's world championships for that. Almost any sport you can think of, a blind person can do without adaptations or with some adaptations. There's not many that can't. But I think there's this apprehension, and even just going to the gym, it's that, the people who are training me or showing me how to, will they know that I'm visually impaired, will they be able to teach me?
You know, I remember having a go at blind tennis, or visually impaired tennis, whatever it was called then, and this was at my school, and I have to say, it wasn't what I would call legit blind tennis, because what
now
they did...
Now I'm intrigued.
Well, yeah, this is what they did. This was illegal tennis.
Backstreet tennis.
Backstreet tennis.
For the blind.
This was played, you know, undercover of darkness on the dark web. Ridiculous. They gave me a reinforced racket. That's it. Yeah. Sure's all I know about tennis. I love watching Wimbledon. Just for the strawberries. You get your bat thing, racket, and it was reinforced. And when they told me it was reinforced, reinforced for what? For the gigantic ball that was coming over the net. They had actually used a giant yellow foam football. As the tennis ball. I nearly broke my wrist on the first serve.
I'm envisaging you with this racket and this giant ball that's at the start of the Prisoner TV series, if anyone ever watched that, rolling down the hill towards you.
It actually put me off because I thought, I'm not playing this game. This is painful. This is horrible. So, you know, that was my experience, and it was people intending, again, that whole thing about people trying to be nice about it all, but actually it was a bit of a nuisance because it actually put me off entirely. And again, the other thing with me being at school, I was in a mainstream school despite having a visual impairment, and when it came to physical education classes, I was told, anything else you could be doing, maybe computer stuff? And oddly exactly. enough, I get into computers because I spent more time with them than I did with anything to do with sports. I never did sports at school.
And that comes back to the point that I was saying there. I'll let you in a minute, Sean.
You won't have much to say. It's all right.
It's about, will they be able to show me what to do? Or the instructors going, how on earth do I show a blind person how to swim? You know, something along those lines. I think it's more down to the individuals not having the confidence or the skills to say, yeah, you can play that. Let's try it out.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, Sean, come on, tell us about your sporting prowess.
Okay, yes, absolutely none at all. And I think what you said there, Stephen, is an excellent point. For me, my experience at school, you know, oh, Sean, stand over there, you're the goalpost, or you're, you know, you can be fielder on this, you stand 8 miles away where the ball's not going to come near you. All those experiences just put me off sport for life. Luckily enough, because I am incredibly obese and unfit. So, you know, it actually worked out well for me. But I've got to say, I actually think that awareness of blind sports is probably, you know, in a really good position now. I think a lot of people are aware that there's these options out there for us. I mean, blind archery, shooting and...
Shooting, yeah. I mean, come on. Really. Who thought that was a good idea?
Give the blind guy a rifle. Yeah.
The point is, it does exist and it is out there. And I think a lot of us are aware of it. And it does come down to that anxiety, you know, and the confidence to say, okay, I'm going to have a go at this. I'm going to trust that there's people out there that will, I don't want to say look after me, but show me how this works. And it's that anxiety that I think we all get in situations we're not used to as visually impaired people. I think there's a lot of that. And it's just about us taking that step. I think actual blind sports are in a great condition.
I'm going to throw out a good and a bad point in here then. And it follows on from Sean there talking about the good position that blind sports in at the moment. A lot of that good position, I think, came down to especially the London 2012 Paralympics.
Yeah.
I think the Winter Olympics as well. I think para-sport has come on leaps and bounds. And I think the public, general public, see that and think, oh, yeah, look, blind people can do that, you know. But what worries me there is that your average visually impaired person goes, oh, yeah, look, they're riding a tandem in the Paralympics. I'm not good enough to be a Paralympian, though. And that may put some people off. So I think it's important that a lot of charities like, you know, as we mentioned, like British Blind Sport and so on, really use every avenue to get the message out that, you know, there's these taster days, come along, try all these different sports. You can just come along for the social side of things. And there are benefits, you know, like confidence building, independence building, team building. There's a lot more to it than just the physical activity, but get more people along just to try it out. You don't have to be, you know, a gold medal winning athlete potential. You can
luckily
just do
enough.
It, yeah, for fun and enjoy it and get fit and meet other people.
I agree with you, though. I think that's, you're absolutely right. I think it's that people think that it's, I can't really think, I'm sure there are examples of it, but I can't think of any examples where a sighted person would be held up to the same standard or expectation. You know, because I think, you know, the idea is that the world is open to you. If you've got full sight and you've all your abilities, then the world is open to you. Anything you want to do or not, which is often why they suggest that blind people tend to do better at things, because it's what's against you that kind of pushes you forward, essentially. I think maybe that's it. Right, okay, well, we're going to leave it there because we could talk about this one all day. I didn't think we'd get even a minute on this, but there you go. That's been really interesting. Okay, let's stick around because we're going to be talking next a little bit about technology, in particular if you're a JAWS user. In this country, in the United Kingdom, you've got to pay quite a premium to get JAWS, but if you live in Spain or you live in Hungary or you live in Colombia, then you could be getting it for free. That is JAWS, Zoom Text, or even Magic. We'll be talking about that. Stick around in the next hour for the forum. We'll continue the conversation with Alan Russell and Sean Preece here on RNIB Connect Radio. Well, the good news is you don't have to wait a whole hour because that was on our show when we were live on air. But in fact, you can get the very latest on the next part of the forum in just a few minutes' time.
The Daily Connect Podcast.
Isn't the podcast just great? Right, are you heading along to the Edinburgh Festival at the weekend or perhaps next week, hoping to catch a show or just enjoy the delights of the event? Well, have you ever considered, though, what you might need to do in advance if you need audio description or you need some assistance during your visit? Well, thankfully, disability charity Ewan's Guide has come up with a handy guide, to put it bluntly, that they have very kindly offered to us to share with you. The Fringe has a handy access ticket service which you can use to book shows and request any assistance that you might require. It could be useful if you want to find an accessible seating area within a venue or grab a ticket for your carer or assistant who might be going along with you. It's also the best place to get audio description headsets for supported performances. You can book your tickets over the phone or by email, and for the first time ever, the Fringe has introduced an online booking system for personal assistant tickets. It is still in its early stages and isn't quite available for everyone yet, for example, if you're in a wheelchair. But if you are picking up tickets before a show, the Fringe shop on the High Street has improved its access with an automated door, and the whole ticket collection service now feels and sounds as if it'll be much smoother. If you prefer assistance when you get there, you can use the Neatbox Welcome app on your phone to let Fringe staff know you'll be arriving. Did you know you can get free tickets to the Edinburgh Festival? Yes, the Edinburgh Festival Fringe is working with Ewan's Guide, the charity, as part of their commitment to make the festival as inclusive as possible. Disabled people who use Ewan's Guide are being offered free tickets to Fringe shows in return for disabled access reviews of festival venues. To take part, go to ewansguide.com/login to register. Then go to ewansguide.com/edfringe to request your free tickets. Afterwards, you can use the website to add your disabled access review of whichever festival venue you visited. First for the Edinburgh Festival this year is a new accessible website with full listings of what is audio described, signed or captioned, plus many other options as well which you can filter through on the site. These are updated regularly, so be certain to check back for the most up-to-date information. The website is edfringe.com. And if you want to call to get more information, then here's the number, 0131 226 0002. That's 0131 226 0002. You can also email accessbookings@edfringe.com. And finally, an exciting new addition to the Fringe this year is the new sensory backpacks, available to borrow from the Fringe shop for children and adults on the autism spectrum who'd like them. Well, the backpacks contain a fidget toy, earplugs, a map of Edinburgh, a photo story describing the Virgin Money street events, and a list of relaxed performances at the Fringe. If you're collecting one of the free backpacks, don't forget to take along some form of photo ID. And enjoy the festival!
The Daily Connect Podcast.
This is RNIB Connect Radio. It's the Daily Connect, and time to continue with the forum because Alan Russell's still here. Hi, Alan.
Hello.
And Sean Preece is also still here. Hello, Sean.
Hello.
Well, we're talking about a whole wide range of topics in the forum, and I thought we'd get into this one. It's an interesting story that I saw. I didn't realise this. I'd heard Colombia was one of the first countries that made JAWS, the screen reader software, available to blind people free of charge. I didn't know that Spain and now Hungary have also joined the list. So now you can get in Hungary, Colombia and Spain, JAWS, ZoomText and Magic free. What they've done is basically done a deal, obviously, with the company and the government, have worked together. They've bought licenses or whatever. And, you know, if you are blind or partially sighted, you can get this. So my question to you both is this something that, considering we now have a lot more options now than we used to have, is it fair that our tax money should be spent, if it was to happen here in the UK, should our tax money be spent on this? Or should we work with the companies like VFO to bring their prices down?
Wow.
Ooh, that's a big question.
This is a big question, isn't it? I was kind of thinking, I've completely changed my mind on some of the points in the last 30 seconds listening to Stephen. Okay, let me throw this spanner in then. No, it shouldn't be free in the UK. because if you are registered blind, you can qualify and get personal independence payment, which you could use to buy assistive technology.
Mm-hmm.
So why should it be free here? On the flip side, it's a very expensive program, and I'm astounded that the deals have been done with other countries.
That's an excellent point. Yeah, because your initial reaction is, of course we should have that. Yeah. Of course it should be free. But then you've got to weigh up like for like. You know, what other benefits or what other ways of getting things are there in these countries compared to what we have? And yeah, that's an excellent point. There's two stories here, you know.
Or maybe even a third, Sean. How about why are we paying so much for a piece of software like JAWS, the screen reader, even things like maybe ZoomText or others like that as well? You know, assistive technology is inherently very expensive. You can pay the best part of, I don't know, what is JAWS now, about £800, £900 on top of buying your PC or your laptop as well, when yes. A lot of products now have built-in accessibility. Why are we still having to pay hundreds of pounds?
Well, that's the point, isn't it? I mean, can they justify that price anymore? Is it because of government schemes that do keep these prices as high as they are? Because they know, you know, maybe something like Access to Work is going to pay these prices. JAWS has become the de facto for employment. Mm. Oh, you're blind, you're in a job, you need JAWS. But I think that is getting a lot harder to justify now. VFO have to work hard to justify the cost of JAWS with NVDA coming out, open source, free, fantastic screen reader. It's changed the landscape, I think.
Okay, but let's look at the flip side of all of that then. You know, play devil's advocate for a second and think about this from VFO's point of view. That's the company that own JAWS and Magic and ZoomText. They've all merged together along with Optilec now. And let's look at it from their point of view. They've done deals now with three governments. So they've got Colombia, they've got Hungary, and they've got Spain, right? So you've got those three governments. And I can only imagine that, you know, I'm not suggesting that the VFO people are going door to door, government to government, saying, hey, let's come up with a deal. But maybe they are. The point is, does that then start to squeeze out the other companies like NV Access, which is, I'd almost call it a charitable product because you donate to it rather than, pay a fee for it. NVDA, which is the product of that, is a great piece of software. But, you know, and arguably it's free, so you can get it anyway, which is fine. But I just wonder if perhaps it might get squeezed out by this, because if everyone can get JAWS and everyone says, because that's what people do, they all go, oh, you want JAWS because it's the greatest ever. Well, if you want that, then people, and you can get it, does that squeeze out the other ones? And is that bad news?
Well, they'll end up in the European court being fined, won't they, for being a monopoly. Yes, it's so tricky. You're absolutely right. But I'm assuming this isn't being forced on people. We've still got the other options there, you know. Yes, but for the other players in the screen reader market, you know, like Dolphin System Access or whatever, then yes, suddenly, who's going to pick that when you've got a free JAWS or NVDA in those countries?
I'd also ask myself, have they picked these countries in particular? I mean, how many people in, say, Colombia are registered as being blind with the government and would have technology to use JAWS on as well?
Yeah. So 10 people are on the list, and as soon as JAWS is free, there's about 1,000 show up, and it's like, hang on a minute, how many licenses do we need? We've just bankrupted the country.
It's a conspiracy, yeah. It's well, true, though.
It's an interesting point. I mean, I suppose I was thinking a little bit like that as my conspiracy theory radar was up, thinking, what's the link between Hungary, Spain and Colombia? There's not a huge amount I can think of, but, you know, and I don't know the numbers, quite frankly. I'm sure we could find them. But, you know, it'd be interesting to know that. I don't think that's the basis of the deal, though. These are deals clearly being done with governments to make this software more... Maybe VFO's model is, and we should get them on, I guess, maybe one day to talk about this, but, you know... Is it the model that says, well, yes, our product is expensive because it costs a lot of money to produce and to maintain and all of that. So, you know, the best way to get it to people is through government finance. So then for people who are, you know, struggling to use computers and need to learn to use computers these days, that's the kind of bit that we miss here. It is really important that people learn how to use machines. So if this gets that software into their hands, then that could only be a good thing.
I suppose it's like corporate responsibility from VFO, isn't it? Look, we're going to the governments, they're going to buy the licences so we can get our product to more blind people who would not ordinarily be able to afford it in the first place.
It's a solution, but the thing, the elephant in the room is, and we've been saying this for so long, is it's just too expensive. This product is too expensive for what it is. Maybe a decade or two ago, there was a, okay, yes, I can understand why it costs this much. But where we are now, it does feel like it's just, it's too much. It's too much, and it's hard to justify that cost. That's what it keeps coming back to for me.
I agree on that. I mean, I could go and pick up even a, you know, a second-hand MacBook for a few hundred quid.
Exactly.
And there's VoiceOver if you want the screen reader, and there's the magnification package in there if you require that as well. And I haven't had to pay for any third-party content. I've just paid for the actual product, and it works just as well.
Well, it's a discussion I'm sure we'll have for many, many months to come, but it has been really interesting with you guys, so thanks so much for coming on. Alan Russell and Sean Priest, thank you for joining me on the forum.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
The Daily Connect Podcast.
Something for the weekend time. We do have a jingle yet.
No, we are working on it, though.
And are you not the producer of this programme, Chris?
I know, but it's been on my mind, and we both discussed it a second ago. We both agree on what the jingle's going to be.
Yeah, we both got the idea.
But we just don't have time to put it out there.
I think next you need Friday. A producer.
A producer for the producer.
You know, it has been a busy week on the show, that's for sure. So it's no doubt we've not got around to something like that. But let's talk about something for the weekend then. Shall we start with cinema?
Yes, indeed. Well, it's a busy weekend as well for the weekend. There's a lot coming out, but one of the biggest releases at cinema, and it's going to be AD across the country as well, has to be Marvel's latest flick, Ant-Man and the Wasp.
So, how long have you been Ant-Man again?
Not long. It just sort of happened.
I wish I could fight bad guys like you.
I seem to mess it up almost every time.
Maybe you just need someone watching your back. Hi. Like a partner.
Ant-Man and the Wasp teaming up.
Follow my lead.
You go low, I'll go high.
I have wings. Why would I go low?
I must say, I've already got my tickets sorted for Ant-Man and the Wasp. I'm a huge fan of the Marvel films. And in this film, Ant-Man teams up with the Wasp, who we met in the last film. Now, this has been an interesting one because of the World Cup and because of The Incredibles 2 being released. Marvel held off on releasing this for a month in the UK.
Oh, really?
So I've had to avoid spoilers for a month.
Oh, that's difficult.
Very difficult indeed. But if Ant-Man and the Wasp or Marvel's not your thing, DC have also released a movie this weekend. It's for the kids. It's called Teen Titans Go to the Movies.
They're really making movies about every superhero.
Has there been a movie about you?
There was a Green Lantern movie, but We don't talk about that.
It's time they make one about me.
I'm afraid it's no. I only make movies about real superheroes.
Why don't they take us seriously?
Titans, you guys are never actually doing anything heroic.
What about that time we discovered that sweet diner and they had that food?
That wasn't even a crime and you didn't save anything.
We save room for design!
All for desserts.
So Teen Titans is a hugely successful cartoon that's on Cartoon Network. It's the kids of the DC universe. So okay. Robin is the star of the movie. And he's wondering why there's always movies about Batman, Superman, people like that. And he's not got one. So he, while trying to get a movie, he realizes he needs a supervillain. So then starts a sort of fight with this other guy. What's really exciting about Teen Titans Go to the Movies is they brought in Nicolas Cage to voice Superman. Now, not sure if you know, Stephen, but Nicolas Cage was cast as Superman in a failed Superman film.
Oh, really?
In the 90s. So there'd been fans calling for years for Nicolas Cage to be Superman again, and DC have finally got it.
Maybe not in this sense, though.
Not in this sense.
No, okay.
But all good. And so if you're looking for something for the weekend at the cinema, superheroes seems to be the thing that's happening.
Seems to be. Okay, so what about the theatre then?
Well, we don't have to go into it in too much detail because you've done such a fantastic job with Ewan's Guide, but the Edinburgh International Festival has started. I know
huge amounts going on.
Absolutely huge amounts. All I would say is just remember that if you want to go to one of the accessible performances, you have to make sure you know exactly what show. So go to your online listings, which provide dates and details for accessible performances.
First time this year. The first time ever this has happened. This website's got all these functions now.
Absolutely.
And you can actually go on and you can search for audio described, captioned, signed performances. All of it's there.
All of it, yeah. So that's www.edfringe.com.
Superb.
If you're not up in Edinburgh, maybe you're down in Newcastle, well, there's an old favourite returning. There's an AD performance tomorrow at 2:30. It's one for the sing-along fans. It's Jersey Boys.
Oh, yeah, that's my kind of thing.
Yeah, it's a sing-along classic, and Jersey Boys was a huge runaway success. Now, one of my favourite stories about Jersey Boys, I did not know this, but Jersey Boys' road manager back in the day in the true life story was Joe Pesci.
No way.
Yes, before he was an actor, he was the driver for the Jersey Boys.
Hope no one argued with him. Right, let's move on to music, because lots of new music coming out this weekend.
Absolutely,
as well.
There's fantastic releases coming out this weekend. James, you remember James?
Oh, yeah.
Sit Down Laid fame. They are releasing their 15th studio album this week. It's released today. It's called Living in Extraordinary Times. It's a return to form for James. Here is a sample of their lead-off single.
That's a bit different, isn't it?
Yes, well,
it's not Sit Down Again.
It's not Sit Down Again. James had a huge single called Come Home, and this one, as part of their return to form, is called Coming Home Part 2.
Right.
If you want to hear the full single, you can do so. Just tune in to A Little Alternative at 9 p.m. tonight, right here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Hogman.
David Hogg is playing Coming Home Part 2, the brand new single from James.
Brilliant. Okay.
Now, James might be a bit too modern for you. Maybe you're looking to go into the past.
Oh, that sounds like me.
Well, there has been an outcry for years for David Bowie's full Montreal 1983 gig to be released in a format that people will be able to listen to that's not a bootleg, basically.
Okay.
So that's getting released today as well. David Bowie, Montreal 1983.
Wow. So that's just coming out. I mean, it seems like such an old album in a way, but you know,
but
it's
again,
never really
it was,
been out.
Yeah, it was only ever available in bootleg format. Now you can buy it in the format, and obviously they've digitized the music straight from the soundboard, all that sort of stuff. So fantastic, great selection of music released this weekend. And before I go, Stephen, I just want to remind you that it's a big weekend for sports as well. Glasgow 2018 European Championships kick off this weekend, as we are all very aware. Messes with the transport getting into work next week.
Yeah, it doesn't have.
And also the Scottish Premier League kicks off this weekend as well. So there's so much happening this weekend.
That is something for the weekend. Thanks, Chris.
You're welcome.
And that brings us to the end of the podcast for not just today, but for the entire week. Thank you so much for downloading and listening as well. It has been great to be with you. I'm back on the show live on Monday morning from 10 a.m. till 12. Next week, it's all about shared spaces. So if you've experienced a shared space and you want to get your view in, then you're more than welcome to. You can call me in the studio from 10 a.m. on Monday on 0345 602 0025, or you can email now if you want to get your comment in ahead of time radio@rnib.org.uk. You can also get in touch over the weekend on social media. We'll be posting up links to some of our stories. You can tell us what you think about them on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you so much for listening. We'll catch you on Monday night at 5 here on the podcast for the next Daily Connect podcast. And all that remains for me to say is have a great weekend.
The Daily Connect podcast.